This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome to Stories from the Quran. In the next couple of weeks, inshallah, we will be going over a number of stories from the Quran. One may ask, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the stories? What's the reason? The reason is simple, that man is the same since the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The earth is the same. Shaitan is the same, and man's nature really hasn't changed too much over the time, and therefore history repeats itself. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about the stories in the Quran, He said, "Nahnu naqussu alayka ahsanul qasas." We tell you not just normal stories, we tell you the best of stories. Why? Because the Quran is the most accurate history book to ever exist. And therefore, we take these stories and we take lessons from them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also articulates in Surah Yusuf, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ إِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in their stories is a lesson, a heed for those who have intellect. And therefore, inshallah, today I will speak about a story which is a profound story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in a couple of places in the Quran, and this is the story of Ashab al-Sabt, the people of, you could say, Saturday. These were a group of people who belonged to the Bani Israel. Now, the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, and he started giving dawah to the Jews. Many of them refused their dawah. So in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, look, there is a mention of this and there is a mention of this in your books, but you deny the existence of that in reality. So now, in one place, there was a story, but it was not actually mentioned in their books. There was nowhere mentioned in their books, but they knew about this story. And this was a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal to him, although he was unlettered. He had no teacher, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept no teacher for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So nobody could say that the teaching of the message of Allah were adulterated by the Romans, the Christians, by him reading, by him writing. So he remained unlettered. The uniqueness of this story is that the general theme in the Quran is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, go to your books and you will find this mentioned here, and you will find this mentioned there. But this story, the people of the Saturday, the Ashab al-Sabt, wasn't mentioned in their books, but they knew about this. And this was the unique nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to keep it in a way that only Allah was the teacher of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody could say that his teachings were adulterated by the Romans, by the Persians, by the fact that he could read or write, by the Jews or the Christians. And this is the reason that the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kept unlettered. Now, the story wasn't mentioned in any of their books, but the Jews of Medina knew about this story, and this was a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like you had when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Isra and the Mi'raj, he went to Bayt al-Maqdis. Now everybody knew that he had never been to Bayt al-Maqdis, so they asked him to describe Bayt al-Maqdis. So he describes it to them perfectly, because as he mentions, it was as though the masjid was brought in front of me and I could see the masjid, all its details. But still, they had a doubt. Maybe somebody told them, told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about what the masjid looks like. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know your caravan which has gone to Bayt al-Maqdis, it will, when I was returning back, I actually saw where it was, and after this many days it will be back in Mecca. And exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said, the exact date which the message of Allah gave, was the day that it returned to Mecca. So here, this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran, and Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنْ قَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةُ الْبَحْثِ إِيَّعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَاعًا يَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the fact, ask them about the city or the village which was by the sea, when they transgressed in the Saturday, when the fish would come to the top of the river only on the Saturday and no other day besides the Saturday. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them, بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ, by that which they transgressed. So this was a test. So look, in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the vast majority of things are halal, and there are a few things which are haram. When it's relation to women, the vast majority of women are haram, and there's only a few, your aunties, your mothers, your sisters, your wives, who are halal. Although the vast majority of things for these people were halal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test them through the fish. So they lived by the sea, and what would happen is that there would be no fish during the entire week. Come Saturday, and Saturday was the day that they were forbidden from fishing, no fishing on Saturday, the fish would come right to the top of the sea and they would jump out of the sea. So all week no fish, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test them. What kind of sabr do they have? So what one individual did is that he went on a Saturday, he caught one of the fish, he tied a little string to its tail and left it in the sea. Left it all Saturday. Come Sunday, he went back, took it out. So technically, he's not fishing on Saturday, but he is fishing on Sunday because he's taking it out on Sunday. So he goes home, he cooks the fish, and a person walks past his house and he smells. And he says, hold on, there's something fishy going on here. So he goes into the house and he sees the fish. So he sees that this person has got fish. He asked, where did you get the fish from? He said, no, I didn't fish on a Saturday. I fished on a Sunday, and this is what I did. So then what happened amongst these people, what they started to do is that all of them, or many of them, they would go on a Saturday and they would catch the fish. They would either make channels from the side where the fish would go in, and then they would block the channel so the fish could no longer go back into the sea. And then the next day, the Sunday, they would come and they would take the fish out of the channels. So this is how they were, subhanAllah, playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The narration mentions that this became so common, that they would have markets selling fish. So there was the group of people who disagreed with this, because they knew that you were playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade you from fishing, but now you were finding loopholes. You know, like, na'udhu billah, sometimes Muslims find loopholes. They find the most vaguest loopholes and they get the most fringe fatwa that they can to justify that loophole. This story is a great lesson for us. When you go fishing for a fatwa, you will find some mufti out there who will give you that fishy fatwa. But is it that which is accepted by the mainstream? And if it isn't, then really, you're playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, this story is an amazing story, because when this happened, they were divided into three categories, and this is ajeeb. So these people were divided into three categories. The first category were those people who were actually fishing. Then you had the other two groups. But that was actually one group which was divided into two. So this group, one group from amongst them was saying, look, These people are a waste of time. You know, and the other group was saying, no. We still need to give them da'wah. We still need to give them da'wah. We need to call them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captures this beautiful in the Quran. So there's one group of people fishing. You have the other group, and that other group is divided into two. One group out of the other two is saying, don't even bother with these things. These guys are past it. You know, they're such rotters that no matter what you do, nothing is going to change their state. Leave them. The other group is saying, no, we need to give them the da'wah. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala articulates this in the Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ عُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَا تَعِذُونَ قَوْمٌ اللَّهُ مُحْلِكُهُمْ وَأَوْ مُعَذِّهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدًا قَالُوا مَعْذَرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ مَعْذَرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. This is so beautiful. Then one group of people say, why are you giving them da'wah for? These people have passed it. Allah recalled this in the Quran. These people have passed it. There is no benefit giving them the da'wah. The other group of people are saying, no. You know why we're giving them da'wah? Because on the day of judgment, we can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can excuse ourselves. If they are destined to be punished, then they will be punished. But what we will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, oh Allah, we gave them da'wah. Therefore, the responsibility is lifted from us. And this is so beautiful, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this ummah, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, ta'maruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhawna anil munkar. And you are the best of people. You are the best of nations. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are taken out for the benefit of humanity. Humanity must see your khair. تَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allahu Akbar. You enjoying good. وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you know why I love this story so much, these two groups of people? Because this is exactly what Muslims are like. You know, you have one group of people, no matter what you try to do, they're always negative. Oh, bro, no benefit on doing that. Oh, leave them. Waste of time. Rotters. Don't give them da'wah. Subhanallah. This is exactly how these two group of people were. One group of people were saying, don't bother with them. The other was saying, no, we have to. This is our obligation. These are our family members. These are part of the ummah. Yes, they are doing wrong. They are doing wrong. And you know how much they had divided themselves from these people? This group who disagreed with them? They had actually built a wall between them, the group of people who were fishing. But then this group, they divided into two. And the reason why this has so much relevance for us today is because, you know, sometimes when you're doing the work of da'wah, you have these people who are always pessimistic, always negative, going to do a march, nothing ever changed with the marches. Going to give da'wah, nothing ever changed with da'wah. Going to do charity, why are you giving for charity? They're so pessimistic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, wallahi, defined these people so beautiful 1400 years ago. He said, "Man qala halakanat fahuwa ahlakahum." He who says that the people are destroyed is the one who's destroyed. That person is the one who's destroyed. Why? Because he's created negativity in the community. He's created people who are pessimistic in the community. No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah says in the hadith of Qudsi, "Ana inda dhanni abdi bi." The way that you perceive me to be, that's how I am. If you are positive towards me, I am positive towards you. And then at the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah says, then man can think of me how he likes. If you think positive of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. And if you think negative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then that will be your outcome. The final outcome of these people who played games with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned them into monkeys and turned them into swine. He transfigured them. Why? Because they played games with the ahkam, the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, they found loopholes to justify the haram that they were doing. The narrations mention that the next day, the group, the believers, they come from behind their walls and to these people. Because during the day they would intermingle and then at night time they would separate. And they found these people, they were all transfigured. They were all transformed into monkeys, apes, and into swine. And subhanallah, you know, the narrations mention that they would say to him, "Didn't we tell you not to do this? Didn't we tell you not to do this? Didn't we tell you not to play games with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" But now it's too late. And they lived for approximately, according to narrations, about 6 days. Some narrations mentioned there were up to 70,000 who actually were transformed into monkeys and apes. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would remember this. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would remember this story. And he would cry. He would say, if this is the outcome of a person or a group of people who flouted one law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what about us today? So brothers and sisters, the thing that I want to take away from this story are two main things. One, don't look for loopholes in the Sharia. Because you will find some mufti, some scholar for a dollar, who will give you a fatwa which suits your whims and desires. But remember, technically, these people were not fishing on a Saturday. They weren't taking the fish out on a Saturday. They were taking it out on a Sunday. But even then, this was so despised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transfigured their faces. The second thing I want you to also understand is that we as believers never ever become pessimistic. We never give up on people. We make the effort and the results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it is an obligation upon this ummah to do the da'wah. And this story is a great story for us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave in a parable of a group of people who are on a ship. You have two decks of the ship. The ones who are at the bottom, they have to climb up and fetch the water. Over a period of time, they say, oh, it's too difficult to go up and fetch the water. It's easy for those on top. So what they decide to do is they decide to drill holes in the bottom of the ship so they can take the water directly. The Prophet ﷺ said, if the ones on top do not stop the ones on the bottom, they will both drown. Both of them will finish. So this is really the reality of this story for us. That if we allow evil to prevail around it, it will sooner or later seep into our homes and into our lives. And therefore, I really want to take from this a lesson that believers are positive. Believers carry on the da'wah. We will leave the results in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah was shunned from Mecca. His own family shunned him. His own family turned against him. But he came back after the 23 years of da'wah back into Mecca, or slightly before that. He came back into Mecca and Fateh Mecca. And subhanallah, all those who now opposed him embraced. All the people of the Hijaz who used to call him Kahin, Majnoon, Sha'ir, Sahir, all the names under the sun. Now they were saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon the stories of the Quran, take ibrah, take lessons from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in dunya, reunite us all in Jannah from those. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.